Hello, welcome back to the PowerShell 10-year celebration, the anniversary, the party. We're having a great time here, bringing you lots of great PowerShell content from a variety of sources around the world. Next up, we actually have a session that's in the studio, so you're going to hear live from a number of esteemed colleagues we have here at Microsoft on PowerShell. Before we do that, get in touch with us, channel9.msdn.com. You can field your questions. We'll try and answer as many as we can, both at the end of this session and in the wrap-up. You can get in touch with us on Twitter using hashtag PowerShell10Year. And obviously, if you've missed any of the sessions throughout the day, they're all going to be available very shortly on channel9.msdn.com. So you'll have access to all of those. And all the resources and everything we've shown, you're going to have access to very shortly. And we'll link to those from the PowerShell blog as well.
Right.
So final session of the day before we wrap up and we check out the code golf results at the end, not pub golf. Tell us what we need to know about this session.
Well, this session is probably one that a lot of people have been waiting for. This is where Angel Calvo, who is the director of development for the PowerShell team, and Kenneth Hansen, who's the PM manager for the PowerShell team, are going to talk about where we're going and the future directions of PowerShell. Gentlemen, welcome.
Thank you, Keith. And hello, everybody. My name is Angel Calvo. I'm the director of development for the PowerShell team. I'm very excited to be here today, have an opportunity with Kenneth to talk about the future of PowerShell.
Yeah, it's going to be kind of fun. I'm Ken Hansen, as you know, from this morning, and we're sort of back again and kind of wrapping it up to talk about. We talked about where we came from this morning, and then at the end we'll talk about at least where we're going in the short term, maybe not the full meal deal. So I guess we'll just get to it.
Yeah, let's get to it.
All righty. So directions, where are we at? Most important thing, I think, as we just noted, is that it's like we have three basic concepts that we're going to, start driving forward. Two are consistent with what we've had before, and one is kind of a new approach for us. And the first one we talk about here is open and ubiquitous PowerShell. Now, this we know about because we just finished, making it on GitHub and putting it to
open
Linux.
Open source it. No, yeah, I think this is actually the way how I'm viewing it is almost we materialize on the vision of PowerShell.
Right.
We materialize on the vision of PowerShell everywhere.
Yeah, something finally, it's actually gone exactly Everywhere. Version 2, we wanted everywhere, which included all Windows platforms.
Precisely.
Now it's all platforms.
Exactly. I think one of the things that we want to do from here is to take PowerShell and make it like the best platform that we can to actually enable this sort of PowerShell anywhere, Linux, Windows, any cloud.
Yeah, manage anything from anywhere at some level.
Exactly. So I think this is definitely, we're going to continue in this direction. We're going to make it better. We're going to continue improving it over time. It definitely, one of the things that we want to do is that, we want our community to really help us as well driving these.
Community is a really important part of this. And that brings us to like the second key pillar. And we'll go through these just a little more detail in the next slide. But the second key pillar is more about this artifact gallery, right? The PowerShell artifacts, the PowerShell things that everybody's able to create, that they can share them, that you, the community, can create them and share them with other members of the community. We create some, we share them with members of the community. Some of those shared resources, modules, DSE resource in particular, are on GitHub themselves and open for open source. And the intent here is that we create a large and trusted. We actually kind of want both. We want both pillars here because when we first went out, there was some view that people said, hey, look, quantity is what counts. And they weren't all worried about quality. But that wasn't what we heard back from the community. The community responded and said, no, we care about first is quality and then quantity and, some mix. And so what we're doing now is we're really trying to make sure that we've landed kind of some trusted stuff and understand at least where things are coming from and trying to put some robustness in there. And we still need to get large enough that you can get your job done.
Exactly.
We always want to make it easier and easier. And so these are the two aspects, I think.
And I think at the point that you made, I think early on today, Keith, through the gallery session, I think he made it clear as well, is that what we want is the community, not only just Microsoft, but our external community of MVPs, customers, future partners, to use this gallery as the vehicle for all of us to contribute, share our artifacts that they are trusted, and the others can actually not only just take a dependency on, but perhaps even improve them and make them better in the future.
Totally. Yeah, one thing leads to another, to virtuous cycle, so to speak. Things get better as we contribute. And the third pillar, I think, is something that's a little new for us, and we're starting this. This is where we're not quite as crisp on the next few things we want to get done. But that one's more about this Azure-based PowerShell services to manage the hybrid clouds. And each one of those words actually has some meaning to us.
Yep.
Might not have meaning to everybody. But, you know, we really want to actually start to move the PowerShell users to enable them to take the first step into Azure, the first step into the cloud. So how do I leverage my PowerShell expertise in the cloud? And we have some ideas on that, but that's kind of a solution service aspect that I think we're going to, over time, almost help it drive some of the direction of the underlying platform so that it solves those problems.
Yeah, exactly. And I think also part of it is a continuation in some of the things that we already done with PowerShell, as well as the integration of PowerShell and the CyrusTech configuration with Azure Automation, which is one of the offerings in OMS, the Operational Management Suite. And one of the things that we want to do is to say, how can we take now PowerShell and make it more of a host?
Make that on-ramp easier.
Yeah.
Totally.
Make it easy integration into those Azure first-party services as well. So definitely this is an area that we are exploring. And definitely, you know, tons to think about it. And we'll, over time, be able to crystallize, materialize more clearly where are we going.
And that's right. One of your, I know, common phrase, this hybrid cloud notion, because the intent is from Azure or from PowerShell. You can manage, you know, anything. You can manage Azure, you can manage your AWS or or local machines on-premise or whatever it is, that hybrid notion.
Absolutely. No, super important. At one point, I think in the hybrid cloud, and I'm glad you mentioned it, that I think we got to realize that our customers and our community, they are on both clouds.
Right.
They're going to be in a public cloud offering like Azure, and they're going to be in an on-premise environment as well, in occasions where they're going to be running Windows and Linux. And we got to provide basically PowerShell the ability to bridge, like you like to say.
That's right, the bridge.
Like be able to bridge between these two worlds, between the on-premise world and the cloud world, and be able to make it seamless to some degree.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And this whole thing, as we know, I mean, and the intent is and remains to be created in partnership with the community. You know, as you say, you know, 10 years ago we started, we were very community involved, very community directed. And here I think we finally actually sort of try to shift to the next level and even say almost community driven as we've got open source. That's the
Key I think our community, I mean, has been always a very important ingredient in the success of PowerShell. Moving forward, if I'm thinking about the next 10 years,
then it becomes more important.
Becomes significantly more important and crucial for us to basically work with our community to develop the future direction of PowerShell.
Totally. And the objective, I think, in the future, which we sort of phrased before, is, hey, we want the PowerShell to become the best cross-platform tool, language and everything else, to manage the hybrid cloud. That's kind of an overall goal. It's this command line tool, PowerShell command line for the cloud kind of a concept
here. This is, I mean, internally, even in our team, when you're looking in the program management and the developer teams, this is our mission. This is where we're going. This is where, basically, we start prioritizing our work. Is based on this particular objective, and with the community, we definitely want to amplify it.
Totally, and this is, and as we say, the tool. I should be a little careful because it's because what PowerShell does really well is it actually aggregates everything from all other tools, right?
Yes.
It's that whole ocean which refuses no river, no
rivers,
stream,
like
right?
You said
we
this
always
morning.
Want
yeah,
to,
it, yes,
right? You always want to make sure you're able to interoperate so naturally. That's why we think it's a very useful base to do that.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, it's not that we're the exclusive tool, I guess. It's we're the one that you would want to turn to do everything else.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit more in detail, maybe, about kind of what we mean by open and ubiquitous platform. There's a few things I think that we have on our short time horizon, at least in our mind, that we want to sort of close out.
Yeah. Well, we started this summer, obviously, with the big announcement of open sourcing PowerShell. It was on August 17, and it was a great day for many of us, and definitely it was a huge accomplishment by the organization and by Microsoft, because it was actually a good way for us to basically set a new direction for PowerShell and for our team. At the same time, we realized that we got a lot of work left to do. Mm-hmm. We made an announcement. We delivered builds that they were specifically for the developer, alpha quality.
Well, they're alpha now, right?
Precisely. Yeah, I think one of the journeys that we have left to do is to be able to deliver production quality, enterprise-supported builds. Right. In order to accomplish that, we got work to do. We got to bring some of our existing test coverage into the community.
Yep.
We got a lot of work around coverage.
We got a lot of work in the cloud support, adoption, getting the rest, everything going on.
Yeah.
Totally. Quality coverage. Yep.
We're going to be able to enable additional protocols for communication, not just WinRN, but as well we need OpenSSH.
OpenSSH, isn't that a great one? I'm looking forward, you know, we demoed a little bit the PSRP over OpenSSH. That was just a lot of fun. We're contributing back to the OpenSSH, as I understand it. It's not just our code, but actually be ubiquitous and available everywhere.
So I know, I think it's been a great engagement with the OpenBSD community. They've been super helpful. They've given us great feedback. Yeah, obviously, we do have a responsibility to go back to those communities to share our contributions with others. But definitely, this is going to enable eOpen the ability for existing customers, especially in the Linux community, to use something that they know very well, OpenSSH, to manage front and to from Linux.
And I think it both ways. It'll just be more natural. And I think, that way you don't have to install whichever client you're on. Mm-hmm. You don't have to install something on that server. If you're a Linux server, you don't necessarily have to get an SSH daemon. You don't have to install it, WSMan on, because you'll already have your remoting capabilities where you're at. So that's, I think, a great motion. The next one's kind of interesting. This is something we haven't talked much about, publicly, actually.
Yeah.
You know, and what we're, desired state configuration has, of course, a couple components to it. One is in the language, when you describe the state you want, and the other one is what we call the local configuration manager, right, or the DSC agent or engine, if you want to, which exists on the target node that you're trying to affect the configuration on. And that thing actually is one piece we were not able to quite get to open source, in time. We have a Linux one that's open source, a Windows it isn't. They aren't quite the same. And so I think this one talks about how do we, as we look forward, what we'd really like to do is actually have a unified code base that actually is put out on open source that people contribute to, maybe even earlier on than just when it's all done, so to speak. You know what I mean? And actually help us get it right.
Absolutely. I think it's the natural progression, if you will, from what we did with PowerShell. I can't imagine not having DSC.
Right, the agent actually also be open source.
Right, I think I think it's something that we want to announce today that is definitely in our plans. And like Kenneth said, we want the community to perhaps help us early on to actually start developing this new open source project. So stay tuned.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's very intense.
So we hopefully within the next few months, we'll be able to make this announcement official and start basically the new project. It's going to be really exciting.
I'm looking forward to it. And some of this stuff will go through. They are what I call possible PowerShell ideas on next step. It's worth pointing out some are more baked than others. This is one that's, I think, a kind of a new thing we're looking at. It's going to be pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. Of course, we want to remove the top DSC adoption blockers. Yeah. Desired state configuration is a great technology. There are two or three things that still really sort of get in your way. Mm-hmm. How do we get past those and let people achieve the full value? People still get value today, but it would be nice if they were able to get the value more easily.
Yeah, I think
what I mean? I think that's the...
No, absolutely. I think this is one, I think it's really important for all of you up there who are evaluating, using, or planning to use DSC to really, share your feedback with us. Because think a blocker to you is a blocker to us. We need to understand that we do have a pretty good list so far, and I think we got some work to do. At the same time, I think it's really important that you keep that feedback coming back to us so we can continue improving the product over time and remove all those blockers. Not only just for you, as well as for our first party, as well, usage.
Totally, usage, just keep it going.
Yep.
And the next one, as we sit here and we talk a little bit, I've got this one a little faded out. I'm not sure if everybody could even see it on the screen, but it just sort of says, look, we're definitely going to start looking at how do we create PowerShell-esque solutions or solutions layered over PowerShell. Mm-hmm. And particularly, if we can, how do we create easy on-ramps? Mm-hmm. So maybe I have a PowerShell script and I just want to easily be able to run it in the cloud. How do I do that? There's certain ways you can kind of get to it today, but it's not manifestly easy. It's not obvious how to do it. It doesn't tie directly into the gallery or into my local machine. It doesn't necessarily go hybrid easily. It doesn't go, across all my subscription. So there's a whole series of things. We just make it a lot easier, I think, to get some of the value of PowerShell, bring it to the cloud, bring it to my Azure-based subscription, bring it to the on-premise. And I think those types of ideas we're floating. If people have ideas, we're always happy to hear them.
Absolutely.
New ways to bring PowerShell to the cloud and give us sort of the next, the next click. What would be an easy...
I think this is an area too when we start thinking about DevOps. I think this actually aligns pretty well with figuring out how we can get DSC sort of in that tool chain into that workflow of DevOps.
Yep, yep.
And I think this is an important area, like you mentioned, it's about, hey, how we do things on promise, how you bring those type of similar functionality.
And particularly the operations side. Some people are so focused sometimes on the, what PowerShell hopefully begins to do more is actually bring kind of the ops in the DevOps to the problem space, and then integrate with the DevOps in a joint way. Sometimes people only come from the dev side, and they haven't really considered quite enough the operational side. So we're trying to actually, that seems to be coming out of the community too. So that's kind of fun to see.
Definitely. If there's something like a PowerShell action solution,
that's right.
I think that's what I'm very excited about. That. I think that's definitely an area where, you know, it's still exploratory.
Totally. As I say, this is the squirty part. This is where we're just beginning to get out there, teasing through some ideas ourselves and working through them a little publicly here. But it so who knows what we're going to do, but we certainly have ideas. And we know we want to do something here.
Absolutely.
That's
definitely something that we want to do. Definitely, we want to hear also some feedback and ideas from the community about how do we think about PowerShell being hosted in the cloud? What kind of experience can we deliver?
Totally, because in some places you want a command line, and some places you want a little hook it into the Ibiza portal, and combination of the two usually. You want the GUI layered over the command line.
But you may want to do some auto-generated
UI. That might be my all-time favorite slow burn project. IPM, totally. And I think you've talked a little before about something that I don't have as completely in focus as I think you do, which is kind of the intelligent services or cognitive services, and how does PowerShell really attach into that newer world of trying to determine intelligent actions moving forward.
Yeah.
I think that's an interesting concept.
Well, I think it goes into kind of like directionally what we think about the modern IT will become, right? We are thinking about 5 years from now, 10 years from now, where IT is going to be, how DevOps is going to evolve. One of the things that we are learning, and I think this is something that you start seeing in Microsoft as well as some other companies in the industry, we start realizing the data is really going to be the vehicle for making decisions in the future, intelligent data. So I think a PowerShell definitely has a great possibility to become the platform, the tool that integrates into cognitive services, like the ones delivered by the Azure, as well as BOT bots.
Because bots
is actually another vehicle where you can capture information that people are sharing with others, you'd be able to translate that information into intelligent actions. And those intelligent actions will help us to be more efficient, to automate in ways that we haven't even thought is possible.
I'm looking forward to this. I think this will be a fun exploration.
Yeah.
You know, to find out how far we can push this over time.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, bring us back a little more to the immediate.
To the things that we're going to do pretty shortly.
Yes. Yeah. Back to sort of the gallery. And that PowerShell gallery has just had its incredible uptake. I've loved how we've grown from 100 modules to hundreds of modules. We'll hit thousands of modules, probably, but hundreds of DSC resources and many contributors. I've been really pleased. We have well over 1,000, 1,600 contributors, something like that. A lot of contributors.
Yeah.
And it was just, I'm really pleased with that. But there's still a little more to be done here.
Yeah. One of the things that they actually, I'm very excited about the gallery is that how the artifacts that they are being shared, we can basically easily integrate them into Azure Automation. We have a vehicle to deploy them and integrate them. And I think over time, we want to see more of that. We're going to provide an easy vehicle for those artifacts to be consumed, either by using things like a package manager or by using, PowerShell, get module, find module. So I think we're going to start figuring out different ways for these artifacts to plug in into different cloud services, as well as to other galleries. Like if you want to have your own private gallery.
Own private gallery, for example.
So I think
people may be able to have that one. So I'm just looking forward to a lot of this stuff as we go through. The trusted aspect, of course, we want trusted information throughout. We've got a lot of first steps we've made, which so far so good. We're getting a lot of feedback right now on the PowerShell script analyzer.
Yes.
Some pros and cons. Certainly our intention there is just to make sure that it is a more trusted place and people know, what the code is doing, that they're going to be downloaded, they can do the analysis. Some of the rules might have to change. Some of the rules might become more, optional, but I think the notion of trying to say, let's do as much analysis as we can and tell you what we can and allow you to know who's producing the module, what they're doing, all sort of makes sense.
Yeah, I think script analyzer in particular, I'm very optimistic that it's going to become kind of like the trusted service for us to validate artifacts that we'll be publishing in the gallery.
And over time, just make it available. I can just call up a server and just, hey, here's my module, give me back the answer, and I don't have to run it.
I mean, imagine, so you have your editor service, and I'm actually working in a script.
Right, exactly.
I can actually call that service. Yeah, you'd be able to validate the script. Okay. It's like, hey, am I using the right
syntax? Integrate it a bit, give me the pointers to where I'm supposed to fix stuff.
Yeah, we got to do that.
We got to do it. Somebody should do that.
Yeah, somebody should do that.
Somebody should do that one for sure. Well, that's great. Yeah, and then of course there's this thing called documentation, which we get a lot of feedback on, you know. And I mean, I'm so glad that now we actually, I think, have open sourced the actual commandlet help.
Yep.
That's certainly a huge step, and now we can go from, you know, what's it called? I want to say WordPress is the wrong term. Anyway, the local automatic markup language to actually produce MAML and what the help system actually uses internally.
Yes. Yep.
So that's been a great step.
And look, I mean, documentation is definitely an area that we know we have got pretty clear feedback from our community that we got to continue improving. At the same time, the same way that we have already open sourced the source code of PowerShell, we have open sourced the documentation, we need your help. Please contribute to the documentation as well.
Totally, and it makes it easy just to fix a typo even. It's like, it's really quick.
Precisely, so I think because one of the things that is gonna happen over time is we start basically increasing the coverage of PowerShell, like commandless help. I mean, I can't imagine it's gonna get significantly larger, no smaller. And as we start doing more-
it's going to get larger.
Yeah, no, commandless help in Linux.
Sure,
right?
Totally.
This is an area that is new for us.
Too.
Yeah, so excited that it's here, excited that we are gonna go investing. But definitely the community can play a significant role here.
Totally, and it's true that as we've started to do a little more, we've had more things like the PowerShell homepage and other things to help communicate more broadly, that also act as kind of a documentation help support community effort. There's a few things we ought to talk about a little bit before we have to shut down too quickly, kind of what we call slow burn projects. They're the ones which we sort of have.
Yep.
They're beginning, they're useful as they are, and we're going to slowly sort of put a little more behind them. They might not be as stacked with gasoline, but we're not gonna let them die. In classes, currently, we put it out. It's got a little bit of some edges to it, a little more work to do. We got some feedback there. We'll keep on that. Certainly, just enough admins got some more things to do. Useful technology right now, very good, but there's more work to do, and we'll just sort of keep incrementally improving, right?
Yeah, I think it's across the board. I mean, one of the things, the reason why we have it in this slide, because we want people to know that, look, these technologies are important. We are going to continue investing on them.
Right.
But definitely, I won't call them, future direction. It's, I think it's existing present.
It's more continuing direction.
In the future.
Right, right.
That's a very good way to
That's
think about it.
That's a better way of saying it, perhaps.
Yeah. So very excited about some of the work here as well around ISE, AutoGen UI.
Oh, AutoGen UI. We'll just point a program to my module and have it pop up a GUI, web-based GUI that does... It looks and feels pretty good. I think it's just going to be awesome.
So
there we're at 10 years, man.
10 years. Can you believe it?
I can't. Yeah. I'm a little older, and PowerShell's a little older too. It's kind of.
It's been pretty exciting. I mean, today was actually an amazing day. I think
it was a great day.
When I was watching the team, I was watching some of the amazing stories the people have shared with us. I mean, first of all, thank you.
Absolutely.
I mean, really thank to each of you, not only just the one that helped today, but really who has been helping us,
From the
beginning. I mean, we have an amazing MVP community, amazing customers.
Well, even before we put out our beta, we had
before.
We had 80 people actually contributing bugs and problems. Yeah. So you're 100% right.
So it is an amazing time, I think. Hopefully you feel also, as optimistic as we are about the future. I think the future of PowerShell, it's actually, in my opinion, quite more exciting than the last 10 years.
It's ramping up. I'm always surprised by how many new people get added to, and it continues to grow in adoption and power and strength.
Yeah, I think we should thank somebody in particular.
I think so. This particular day, not just the community, but it's probably worth actually saying a thank you to Keith Bankston and Matt McSpirit. But Keith is really the one who sort of orchestrated this whole thing. We wanted to give a brief shout out to him for that effort. I've really appreciated the day, and I hope you have too.
So yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Keith. And because these sort of things doesn't happen without people.
Without
who
effort,
really have the effort, the energy, and the passion to make it happen.
Absolutely.
So it's been an amazing day. And actually, I'm looking forward for in about 10, 15 minutes, we're going to go celebrate with the dean.
So we're going to have a cake.
Probably, you know, so pretty exciting day.
That's going to be awesome. Well, there's a lot left to do still as we look at the manifesto, but thank you for everything we have so far. It's been a great time.
Absolutely. Easy enough. Thank you. And until next time.
Thank you very much, guys. Awesome stuff.
And thank you for your kind words. We're going to take a 1 minute break here in between this and our wrap up, and we'll be right back and close this thing out and maybe catch up with Kenneth and Angel on the way to that beer.